So when I start to prepare for an exhortation, usually I have a lot of different thoughts on different subjects that I would want to talk about and hear about. And usually when I pick one, I want to pick one that I personally would like to hear more on, or something that would help me and strengthen me in my walk. And since we just had a baptism this past week, I thought a good focus would be one on prayer. I know for me, after my baptism, this is something that would have helped me to hear. And this is something, you know, prayer for me is something that I still struggle with from time to time. So I'm going to briefly just kind of explain my experiences, my personal experiences with prayer and praying, and then, you know, talk about what prayer is. You know, is there a right way to pray? Why should we pray? You know, what should we pray for? How can we improve the way we pray? So many of you may or may not know, I grew up in a Catholic household. And my experience with prayer through my youth and through most of my young adulthood was one of memorization. In the Catholic Church, you're taught at a very young age different prayers. And you'd memorize these prayers and you'd repeat them over and over and over. And you even had a tool that would help you. You had a rosary. And the rosary, it's kind of like a necklace with different beads and a cross. And usually you'd start out with an Our Father, then I think it was like 3 Hail Marys, and then Apostles' Creed, and then you go like 10 Hail Marys, and then another Our Father. I mean, it was just very repetitious in prayer. And this was my first experience with prayer. You know, this is how I learned to pray. This is the only thing I ever knew, was this memorization, this repeating these words. You know, did I really understand these words that I was saying? Not really, no. However, you know, I would get the beat down or the cadence down. You know, I knew the melody of the prayer. I knew how it should sound. But the words I was saying, they were just words. Now, it's very much like the heathen that Jesus spoke of in Matthew 6, verse 7. When you pray, do not use vain repetitions as the heathen do, for they think that they will be heard for their many words. And my prayers, they were just that. They were vain repetitions, meaningless and void of any power. So as I moved away from Catholicism, out of my young adulthood, into my early 20s, you know, I continued to pray, but I prayed on my own without the use of these memorized prayers. It was only after I was baptized that I would be called upon every so often to pray. And it still makes me nervous when somebody asks me to pray. Even when I'm at home praying for meals, I get very, you know, nervous, and I feel the stress of, you know, that people are counting on me to pray for them. You know, it's up to me. They're relying on me, you know, to pray. Even though, you know, it's something that I hope to, you know, to improve on. There's days where, you know, some of my prayers are really good. There's some days where, you know, they're not so good, I guess. But, I mean, the effort's still there, and I think that's what's important. So I think it's important that we understand what prayer is and what praying is and the usefulness of it. So prayer is an active way to have a relationship with God. It is an expression of our faith in God. You know, when we pray, we acknowledge God's existence and his presence in our lives. And faith, it's a requirement of an effective prayer. If you look at Hebrews 11, verse 6, in Hebrews 11, verse 6, and without faith, it is impossible to please God, because anyone who comes to him must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who earnestly seek him. So God wants us to have a relationship with him. And when we pray, we approach God through his Son, Jesus Christ. And Jesus, he opens the way for us to go to God freely and without restraint. And we should be able to go to God like we go to our own father and just talk to him. I think that's what God wants. He wants us to be ourselves when we pray. He wants to see us for who we truly are. You know, he wants us to express ourselves to him. In Ephesians 3, verse 12, it says, "In him and through faith in him, we may approach God with freedom and confidence." In Hebrews 4, verses 14 through 16, "Therefore, since we have a great high priest who has ascended into heaven, Jesus the Son of God, let us hold firmly to the faith we profess. For we do not have a high priest who is unable to empathize with our weaknesses, but we have one who has been tempted in every way, just as we are, yet he did not sin. Let us then approach God's throne of grace with confidence, so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help us in our time of need." Now, it's through Jesus that we can have this relationship with God. In our time of need, we can pray to God for guidance and help. So, another question comes about, when should we pray? We should always pray, every single day. You know, how do we do this? Examples in the Bible in 1 Thessalonians 5. "Rejoice always, pray continually, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus." In Luke 18, verse 1, Jesus tells the apostles that they should always pray and not give up. So how many times should we pray? So how many times? 3 times a day? 7 times a day? Should we pray in the morning, the evening? Well, the answer is yes to all these. You know, Daniel, he prayed 3 times a day. In Daniel 6, verse 10, 3 times a day he got down on his knees and prayed, giving thanks to his God, just as he had done before. Psalm 119 suggests 7 times a day. Psalm 119, 160, verse 164, 7 times a day I praise you for your righteous laws. Now, I think what is important for us to know is that we should be making time to pray each and every day. We should be giving thanks to God through prayer for everything. So it doesn't matter if it's 3, 4 times, 5 times. I mean, anytime you think about it is the right time for you to pray. If you feel the need to pray, definitely you should pray. In Philippians 4, verse 6, states, "Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your request to God." So Jesus told his disciples in Matthew 6, verse 8, that your Father knows what you need before you ask him. We see the same idea in Psalm 139. "You have searched me, Lord, and you know me. You know when I sit and when I rise. You perceive my thoughts from afar. You discern my going out and my lying down. You are familiar with all my ways. Before a word is on my tongue, you, Lord, know it completely. You hem me in behind and before, and you lay your hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me, too lofty for me to attain." So God knows us inside and out. So he knows what we're going to say before we even say it. So what's the point then? You know, why should we even pray? If God knows what we're going to say, you know, why even bother? You know, I think prayer, mainly it's for us. It's for us to trust in God, to confide in him, to give everything to God. Our troubles, our fears, our hopes, our dreams, and our thankfulness for everything. You know, thankful for that beautiful sunset that we had on Thursday night. Thankful for the food that he provides every day. You know, things that we take for granted. Things that you might not even think about. You know, be thankful for the shelter that he provides each and every day for you. You know, give thanks for the clothes on your back, the shoes on your feet, the warmth of your jacket. You know, has anyone ever, you know, thanked God for the bad times in their life? You know, I know I have. You know, it's important that we need to give thanks in all circumstances. You know, I thanked him for the experience of knowing what it was like to be just so vulnerable and so helpless that he showed me that it was only through him that I would be able to regain my strength and get better. And it was not by anything that I did, but it was by his hands that I was able to get better. You know, there's no limit on prayer. We could pray for a variety of things. So, is there a right way to pray? And the answer would be yes. We see this in Matthew 6, starting in verse 5. And when you pray, do not be like hypocrites, for they love to pray standing in synagogues and on the street corners to be seen by others. Truly I tell you, they have received their reward in full. But when you pray, go into your room, close the door, and pray to your Father who is unseen. Then your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you. And when you pray, do not keep babbling like pagans, for they think they will be heard because of their many words. And if we turn to Luke 18, starting at verse 9, we can see an example of a right and a wrong way to pray. And the parable of the Pharisee and the tax collector. So Luke 18, starting at verse 9. To some who were confident of their own righteousness and looked down on everyone else, Jesus told this parable. Two men went up to the temple to pray, one a Pharisee and the other a tax collector. The Pharisee stood by himself and prayed, God, I thank you that I am not like other people, robbers, evildoers, adulterers, or even like this tax collector. I fast twice a week and I give a tenth of all I get. But the tax collector stood at a distance. He would not even look up to heaven, but beat his breast and said, God, have mercy on me, a sinner. I tell you, this man, rather than the other, went home justified before God. For all those who exalt themselves will be humbled, and those who humble themselves will be exalted. So the Pharisee, when he prayed, he praised himself to God. You know, a lot of it was about him. He was seeking, you know, some sort of pat on the back from God. You know, I'm doing such a great job. You know, I'm so good. You know, I'm not like this other guy. I'm not like this, you know, horrible tax collector. So he wanted praise and thanks from God. He wasn't giving God thanks and praise. You know, he was praising himself and not God. However, the tax collector, who, you know, at that time he would have been an outcast. You know, somebody looked down upon in society. This was the man that was praying properly. He was humbling himself before God and asking for his help. And as I was doing this exhortation, I noticed that a lot of times when they talk about Jesus praying, he often prayed by himself. It's a couple of references. You guys don't have to look them up. In Luke 5, verse 16, it says, but Jesus often withdrew to lonely places and prayed. Luke 6, verse 12. One of those days, Jesus went out to the mountainside to pray and spent the night praying to God. Mark 1, verse 35. Very early in the morning, while it was still dark, Jesus got up, left the house, and went off to a solitary place where he prayed. So I think the point that want to make here is that when we do pray, especially when we're praying personally, we should find a place that has minimal distractions. I'm sure each and every one of you has a place you can go to where you won't have a lot of distractions. I know for myself, sometimes, you know, I pray in what some people may think would be odd places, but there are places where I'm alone and I know I will not be disturbed. You know, sometimes, you know, when I'm in the shower, You know, I'm by myself. I know people aren't going to bother me when I'm in the shower. I take that time, you know, where I can focus and I can pray. There's not a lot of distractions. If I'm in my car, I'll turn off the radio and I'll just start to pray. That way I can just talk to God. But I think it's important for each one of us to find a place, whether it's a patio, a garden, you know, while you're on a walk. We can always find a place to pray. And I think that is important. So when we do pray to God, we should do so through His Son, Jesus Christ. If we look at John 14, verses 13 and 14, when Jesus is talking to Philip, states, I will do whatever you ask in my name, so that the Father may be glorified in the Son. You may ask me for anything in my name, and I will do it. And in John 16, starting in verse 23, very truly I tell you, my Father will give you whatever you ask in my name. Until now you have not asked for anything in my name. Ask and you will receive, and your joy will be complete. In Matthew 21, verse 22, it says, if you believe, you will receive whatever you ask for in prayer. So does this mean that we just pray for $1 million so we live a life of luxury? Can we pray for just about anything and know that we'll receive it? No, that is not what it's saying. If we look at 1 John 5, starting in verse 14, states, this is the confidence we have in approaching God, that if we ask anything according to His will, He hears us. And if we know that He hears us, whatever we ask, we know that we have what we asked of Him. So our prayer requests will only be answered if it is according to God's will. Not by our own will, but by His. If it is God's will, it will be done. So, in conclusion, I think we need to be persistent in our efforts to pray. Prayer is a way for us to express and strengthen our faith. You know, our relationship with God is enhanced through prayer. Therefore, I think it's important for each one of us to find your own voice when we pray. I think it's important that you use your own words and that it truly comes from your heart. Now, I don't think every prayer needs to sound like, a King James version. I think it's important to be able to express yourself to God using your own words and your own style. Certainly there are guidelines for us to follow, that is certain, but we shouldn't just mimic other people or other ways of praying. So before we take the bread and the wine, I'd just like to read a passage from Hebrews 10 to get us focused on why we are here. Hebrews 10, starting in verse 19. Therefore, brothers and sisters, since we have confidence to enter the most holy place by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way opened for us through the curtain, that is, His body, and since we have a great priest over the house of God, let us draw near to God with a sincere heart, and with the full assurance that faith brings, having our hearts sprinkled to cleanse us from a guilty conscience, and having our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold unswervingly to the hope we profess, for He who promised is faithful. And let us consider how we may spur one another on toward love and good deeds, not giving up meeting together, as some are in the habit of doing, but encouraging one another. And all the more as you see the day approaching.